Hi, I'm Stephen Amell. Pay no attention to the thundering noise in the background. You're listening to Geek Pride Podcast.
Hi, everybody.
Matt Geary for the Geek Pride Cast on this Thursday Eve. I'm joined by two nerds of the nerdiest type. First up, we have Quizmaster John Joe Crossgrove.
Good evening, Geek Stratosphere.
And second up, we have J to the Jeze, V to the Varney, Josh Varney.
What the fuck was that intro?
that's my Snoop Dogg, man. That's my Snoop. Right, okay, so, gentlemen, what's been going on since I last talked to you?
It's been an interesting week for gamers.
So many pissed off gamers, put it that way.
Oh, Christ.
I'm guessing you are alluding to E3.
Yes.
All right then. So, I've seen all the main titles, but I didn't really keep a massive eye on it. Ironically, considering we've covered it for most years, but this year we were a bit busy. So, explain. Go on then.
Well, I've got to say, from an Xbox point of view, as an old school gamer, I am thrilled to the wall that there's a Battletoads game coming out. I loved that on the SNES back in the old school era. But the top of my list was the announcement of the Gears of War franchise getting three new games: Gears Pop, Gears Tactics, and Gears 5. Can't wait.
Whoa, what? So there's Gears Pop, did you say?
Gears Funko.
Pop. Funko Pop.
Oh, right, okay. And then Gears Tactics. What's Gears Tactics?
Gears Tactics is a bit like Command & Conquer with Gears of War.
Ooh, that could be interesting. That'll be very good. Interesting. Is it consoles or PC?
It's Xbox at the moment, but they are saying about going into PC.
So it's going to be kind of along the Halo Wars type thing, possibly?
Yes.
Interesting. I'm not a massive fan of RTSs on consoles. They are definitely a PC domain game, I think, because they're just a bit easier to move stuff. But Halo Wars wasn't too bad, so something similar could be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm still excited for Battletoads.
So Battletoads, yeah.
Battletoads.
So while the unhappy... Actually, one minute, sorry. When we're talking about Gears of War, I didn't get Gears of War 4. I've got all the other three, but I didn't get Gears of War 4.
Get it.
It is good.
Get it.
It shows you in this next one, it's got Marcus Fenix. He looks slightly younger.
He's on a shave.
Is it the same old Marcus Fenix from the other ones?
Yes, it's the same old Marcus Fenix.
Interesting. So, right, okay. I'll not ask for the storyline of the last one and stuff. Though, chances of me playing it. Yeah. The third one, he's like, it was his dad, wasn't it? He was like his dad, and then there was like the queen or something, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's right. His dad basically had become half locust, which then meant when they killed the locust, his dad died as well. Sad times. And also, but then again, that wasn't even the most emotional part of that game.
Dom's wife,
going through PTSD, that was the worst bit. And that it was so horrible watching it, but it was just so well shot, so well made.
The best thing about it, Gears 3 is Dom's sacrifice being played off with Mad World. And I thought you could have picked any song whatsoever for, you know, like sacrificing yourself for the best of the team. But have Mad World in the background. I thought, oh, come on, I've had enough of this crap. You know, play something better, like, I don't know, St. Elmo's Fire. Fucking hell, go out with a good bang, like...
Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh, yeah. That'd be brilliant.
Slayer, Rain and Blood.
Oh, Your Betrayal.
Metallica, Seek and Destroy.
Yeah. Seek and Destroy, yeah. Okay, so...
I just want to say, E3, Xbox was fantastic. There was a lot that came out of that presentation. It was the other presentations that just really lacked.
That's a good thing, because Xbox have been really lagging behind. Yeah. And being an Xbox faithful, I find it very hard to swallow whenever Xbox don't deliver or Microsoft don't deliver. And they delivered all that I care about, Halo 6. Halo Infinite. Yeah. Have no idea what it's going to be like, but...
It looks so different, but it looks really good at the same time. It's nice to know that they're not afraid to change up the way that they make these games, the way that they present them, and it's going to be nice to see that change from what Halo 5 was. I think Halo 5 was too dependent on trying to do a dramatic shift in story, but not so much a change in what you know and what you play.
Yeah, I agree. Well, they had a lot to sort of make up for after Halo 5. Mm-hmm. I've been very faithful to Halo since day one, and I just couldn't reconcile myself with Halo 5. It actually got me that the gameplay itself wasn't too bad. It's just the campaign story mode.
Short.
It killed what was an amazing and beautiful ending in Halo 4, and it just... It basically, you had Spartan Locke and you had obviously Master Chief, and they didn't really get enough airtime either of them, so it basically just killed the whole thing. And Cortana being like rampant and basically despotic now, just I don't think I buy it. I just don't know if I get it or not, to be honest. So it'd be interesting to see where they go with that, to be honest.
And just from else from the Xbox, I know it's not an Xbox exclusive, but finally, Devil May Cry 5.
Yep, was so excited. And I thought, come on, there's got to be Dante. You know, obviously, my son is named after him of the games. And all through the video exclusive footage, I thought, where is that shiny head bastard? And like for 3 seconds of him on a motorcycle at the end, I thought, really? Really?
I feel this is going to be the Metal Gear Solid 2 of Devil May Cry. But... I really like Nero. I think he's a fantastic character. And as long as they do good with this storyline, then they actually deliver a great game. Because DMC from a few years ago was utter crap. It was one of the worst games and one of the worst gaming mechanics of all time that I've ever played.
DMC5, I'm sorry, I've got to utter Deadpool by saying, enough of the mechanical fucking arms. it's just boredom now. It's like, oh, everybody's got a mechanical arm. Oh, for God's sake. You know, they've ripped off his Devil Bringer. Great. Okay. So what's he got now? Oh, look, he's got an interchangeable mechanical arm. Oh, for fuck's sake. Why?
Well, because I can't let him go around with one arm for the whole game.
Why not? It would be a hell of a handicap.
Oh, could you imagine that? Yeah. What's the difficulty setting? Yeah, we take away the arm.
Yeah.
You
can have a skill set by throwing the Red Queen up in the air, pulling out the blue rose, gunning people down, and catching the sword again. Be great.
Oh man!
But I've got to say, I am a big lover of Nintendo. Nintendo, I felt, was a massive letdown for E3 this year.
I don't think Nintendo's really done much for the last couple of years, to be honest. I just think...
The thing is, last year they had a good lot of teases. I mean, they promised Metroid Prime 4, which, for me, that was quite nice to see that they're working on that. They also promised a new Yoshi game, and I'm quite fond of Yoshi. They also showcased the Mario Odyssey at the time. But this year, they spent two-thirds of their runtime on Super Smash Bros. I love Super Smash Bros. I think it is a fun game. But it's something that after a few hours, you're probably not going to play much of. It'll be there just when friends come around to play. But it was like there was no like proper first party title that got me excited. There was nothing that made me think, right, this is going to push the Nintendo Switch now to its limits. I just thought this is supposed to be E3 at its best. This is supposed to be, you know, the pinnacle. They're the last presentation of the weekend. This has got to be where they announce some of the big games. They're going to pull out some massive surprises. No. It was bad. And don't get me wrong, I like the look of the new Pokemon game. I'm not a big fan that you can't fight wild Pokemon. You can only catch wild Pokemon like in Pokemon Go. But You still got gym battles. You still got trainer battles. That's still good with me. Super Smash Brothers. I will be playing it when it comes out. And also there's the Starlink game, which actually has Star Fox as a playable character, which I reckon is going to be quite fun. But apart from that,
Starlink,
Star Fox and Starlink. Oh, come on now.
Yeah. But apart from that, there was nothing about that E3 that got me too excited. There was nothing that was presented that was that brand new. Because even the Starlink one, that was in the Ubisoft. And I've got to say, Ubisoft actually did really well.
Assassin's Creed, I think, is going to do very well with Odyssey. I mean, I've seen a lot of people already pre-order the Spear of Leonidas and the exclusives that have come out with that. I mean, I've said friends who work for Game who are already sporting the Assassin's Creed t-shirt exclusives that they get from working for Game. And I thought, bastards.
Yeah, just on a random note, I'm currently playing this game called Warzone on my phone. I blame my friend Dickie. He basically told us, because we were playing chess, and he's like, you know, you're going to play this game called Warzone. I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of like Risk. So get on it. And unfortunately, it's like the most addictive game you've ever played in your entire life.
That's like Guns of Boom for me.
And my brother keeps fucking beating me, and it's really annoying. It's just like, and he's taunting me at this moment in time. Just I'm just like, ah, and I got absolutely annihilated in not annihilated, I got beaten in the first one, and he's just thrashed me there now, and
just expecting that guy at the bottom right hand side to go toasty.
Yeah. Very, very upsetting at this moment in time. But yeah, it's called Warzone. It's kind of like Risk, but it's on your mobile. It's cross. Yeah, he's just like, you can see. I'm not sure if you can see that. See all the blue that's on that. All the blue that's on that screen. That's him. All the red was me. So yeah, basically, beat me pretty badly. Yeah. Anyway, gents. Sorry. Apologies. Carry on.
Yeah. Like I said, there was some good conferences. There was some good stuff that came out. Ubisoft, I think, pulled out some nice choices, and I wasn't a big fan of the first Division game, but the Division 2 looks good. I think that could be...
Didn't play the first one. Was it like an MMO type game?
Do you remember playing Rainbow Six or SOCOM when they were out?
SOCOM,
yeah, I remember SOCOM. But yeah, Rainbow Six and stuff, yeah.
A little bit like that, but this new one, I don't know, it's just the gritty,
team-based.
They are fun. They're fun shooters. Well, they're not too much fun because they're supposed to be like post-apocalyptic America. But still, it's
as fun as you can get in the post-apocalyptic world. Post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah,
like Rage 2.
Oh, that looks fun. Yeah. That looks fun.
But The Last of Us 2, I think, was for the... that was a hell of a reveal.
Oh, and Death Stranding.
Oh, man, what the fuck is that game all about?
That just looks so bizarre. Insane.
Like, I'm not a PlayStation person, and apparently it's a PlayStation game, but it kind of makes me want to play it. It's just weird. It's like he's got, like, a fetus in a jar, and it has this light thing so it can see, like, the dead. It just looks so weird. I'm not 100% sure how it's going to work mechanic-wise. It seemed that from the bit of clip gameplay you saw, so he's wandering around, and he's got that thing on his backpack, and it's going do-do-do, and it's shining on stuff. But then, if he sees them, and then he turns away, they get him. So I'm not sure if it's like you can't turn your back on them once they
like
see
weeping angels from
Doctor Who. Something like that could be.
Well, so, I compared them to Boos from Mario.
I find what's happened is that Hideo Kojima, I think he's been so disillusioned by the video game industry, he's just been smoking some weed, and he's just like, yeah, I'm going to make whatever I want. I had this really fucked up dream last night that these ghosts were coming at me. I had to have some fetus attached to me to shine some light so I could fight them. I'm going to make that into a game.
I think I saw the person who designed Agony bloody did for a living.
Yeah, weird, man. Really, really weird game.
But this game is it looks almost like as if it's like a proper Hollywood movie as well, because there's some good star quality in
this
movie.
It's got Mr. Ramos in it, isn't it? doesn't it?
Yeah.
Norman Reedus.
Reedus, yeah, Ramos. Reedus. Ramos. Who's Ramos? Who am I thinking
Sergio,
of?
Sergio same, Ramos, same the footballer. Shit.
Yeah, yeah, the answer.
then you got Leia Sado, the she was Bond girl inspector, Mads Mikkelsen. It's pretty good casting. I'm liking the look of it. But this is what I'm finding with some games now, because obviously the technological advances, the amount of detail that goes into these games, we find out about a game, we don't see it for about 3 or 4 years afterwards. So this was first teased over 2 years ago. When are we getting this bloody game?
Yeah, I was about to mention this, about We Happy Few. Now, this game was teased, I think, it was at least 2 years ago, and they brought out the trailer for it, and it was supposed to be out last year, but then it was pushed back to this year. And only now, at E3, we were seeing that it actually has a release date. And I thought, I've been waiting for this game for over two pissing years, because it just looks freaky as hell. I thought, that's my kind of game.
Have you stopped talking, or have you just disappeared, Josh?
No, I finished my sentence.
Because you just stopped so suddenly. I was just like,
trying to get himself, he's trying to compose himself. Like, I've been waiting for 2 years. When is the release date for it? Actually, I need to know now. Where's the release date?
Oh, I'd love to find out the release date for it, but apparently it is this year. It's the end of this year, the same with Smash Brothers, I think.
Yeah, this is the thing, because Nintendo have been teasing for about a year. They're going to be doing they're going to be charging for their online service. I thought the logical thing was, okay, if they're going to do that, do it at the same time that Smash Brothers comes out. So I thought, you know, Smash Brothers probably August, September. Oh, when's it coming out? December the 7th.
Yeah.
Right, for God's sake. And they're playing this game at E3, and this game looks like it's pretty much complete. You've got the full roster of characters apparently being played at the Nintendo Treehouse at E3. It's like, why you got to wait another 6 months to bring out this bloody game?
Hype, innit?
Yeah, but again, you know, you've got Pokemon just 3 weeks beforehand as well. So it's like, you could have brought one of them a few months early, so you feel like you've got then a AAA title a bit closer. It feels like there's nothing Nintendo-wise now until the end of the year.
I just don't understand why Nintendo were still going, to be honest. I just think there's just no sort of originality in their stuff anymore. It is just it's just there nostalgia.
There is a little bit of originality. They're now charging for cardboard boxes.
Yeah, I just don't. Yes. You know, I like people like nostalgia and stuff. I understand that, but it's like they won't let go. It's like, just carry on. I appreciate, you know, just do what other people do and let them port those games onto other sort of consoles and stuff and play, you know, the games. But it's just like, to have your own console and stuff, they just can't compete. And it's just...
I think with Nintendo, they've obviously been going since 1899. They've had a massive legacy. I think to just see them almost be swept under the rug, and being honest, you know, They've had some pretty shit consoles. I mean, Wii U, anyone? That was the Wii U, I think, was terrible. It was a very unresponsive console. The games for it were poorly passed over. And Nintendo Switch, at least it's creative. It's something that's managed to attract people. It's brought over some of these games that people never probably played before on the previous console. And the idea that you can play it on the go, you can play it at home, you can play it with friends, you can make one controller into two, it's innovation. But at the same time, give it a couple of years, people will get bored of it, you know, because we're going to have PlayStation 5 and Xbox, whatever they're going to call the next Xbox. And how far do you go on games consoles going forward?
Yeah.
It's just going to turn into PCs, aren't they? Just modular and adding things into them and stuff. Well, it's like the Xbox One X is just an upgraded version of the Xbox One. Yeah. It's just going to be that, isn't it? Sort of similar things.
Well, from E3, you can see that there's been a lot of influence from like the Ready Player One side of things, because of all the nostalgic characters they're now bringing back into their games, like I said, Battletoads, Star Fox. So, you know, there is the rise of the nostalgic old school variant, but they really do need to step it up just a little bit. Otherwise, it's just going to be a mass boredom.
Mm. Hmm. The thing is, with E3, Sony's presentation, I thought, was quite an interesting one, because they pretty much showcased only four games, with one of them having a release date. So out of the four that they highlighted, only one had a promised release date, and that was September this year for Spider-Man. We don't know when Last of Us 2 is coming out. We don't know when Death Stranding's out. And whatever that other one was, the Shinsegu or something.
Is that the one with the samurai?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked pretty good. The gameplay that looked pretty awesome.
That's what I mean. They all look really good, but when are we going to see these games? I think that's... Don't get me wrong. I like to see it. I like to see what's being done. But I always feel when you then show these games, they go, oh, when they're coming out, we don't know yet. It's like, it does feel like it's almost taking the... It's having a dig at your fans, at the people who want to play these games. It's like, yeah, you're going to make them wait so long. And we found before that games, when they take too long to come out, when they've announced them so far ahead and then they've been released, some of them have just sold terribly or just been brought out and no one's cared about them.
Yeah.
Overhype.
But Last of Us 2 is one that I've personally, I will happily wait for, because that first game was still one of my favourite games of all time. I loved that game. And The Last of Us 2, from what I can see from the gameplay trailer, from the from the cinematics, it looks brilliant. It almost like bringing a tear to my eye, thinking like this almost feels like I'm in this world. And there's no real games that I've ever played before that made me feel like that.
I have to say, I'm feeling slightly disillusioned with games in general, to be honest. Like, just AAA games. Like, ones where it's, you know, graphics are the big thing and gameplay comes second. And it's been a pet peeve of mine for many, many, many years, where you get beautiful looking games and the gameplay's all right, but in my mind, you could maybe sort of downgrade the graphics slightly and increase the gameplay more and have more options to do stuff. Mm. And, you know, one thing I would just love, just for a bit of a change, you know, back, do you remember Red Faction? You know, the old PlayStation game, Red Faction.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could blow up everything. Now, I know in Red Faction 2, they sort of dialed it down a bit, and I think there's the Red Faction that was on the Xbox and stuff, and you could get sort of, you could blow up certain things. But in the original one, you could literally blow everything up. Like, you could blow through, like, walls, destroy the ground, you know, and that sort of idea, for me, especially in like sort of first-person shooters like Battlefield and things, like what used to annoy me in Battlefield, so you'd have Battlefield 4, so you could blow up like certain buildings and things like that, and they'd blow up, and that was great. But then you'd be driving a tank, and you'd get stopped by a bloody skip. So you'd be driving a tank along the road, and there's a skip inside, and you would just get stuck. And you're just like, are you serious? I can blow up a fucking building, but I can't destroy a skip? And it's frustrating. And I just think, you know, just in general, I'm just like, games, there doesn't seem to be a lot of ground being gained. It just seems to be a bit of a arms race in graphics and in how many stars they can get involved. So there's like, we can pay a lot of money and sell this game because X celebrity is doing the voice. And then, you know, I'm just, yeah, just in general, I've not played anything in ages that I've went, this is absolutely amazing. Like I said, I find myself playing games like Warzone on my phone, because they seem a bit, you know, they aren't pretentious. They are just sort of what they are and stuff. And,
I think for me, it's the waiting. It's the whole waiting for the games that you actually really want. I mean, like I was saying about We Happy Few, it's a case of, you know, was released, you know, advertised 2 years ago. Yeah, it's going to be the greatest game you've ever seen. No, it's really freaky. It's different of opinion, and all of a sudden,
2,000 years later,
now they're doing it on E3 and showing it off. Though, for goodness sake, at least give us something that is coming out within the next 2 months, or, you know, in the next month. But yay, E3.
Yeah, So like, I'm just struggling with games, and I think, you know, E3 wasn't, you know, Halo Infinite and some of the other games that did sort of kind of go, did raise an eyebrow, but wasn't overly impressed with it and stuff. What were you saying, like, people were very unhappy about? You were sort of mentioning earlier that people were going to be very unhappy.
Well, I had a mate over there who bought a ticket for the, you know, the Games Expo. And, you know, it's $250 to walk in. And you're waiting in excess of 5 hours, 6 hours, just to play an 18-minute, you know, if you're lucky, demo. And, you know, you're wasting all the day waiting, even to get to the exclusives. I think they had like a maximum of 400 things per day, capped it off. And even if you were lucky to go back the next day, there was no guarantee there'd be anything for you. Unless you were like a popular cosplayer, or you were invited there by, obviously, the gaming companies, or you were like gold standard press. You were lucky to walk away with anything. And yet, if you look on eBay, a lot of people walked away with a lot of things. There's this Super Smash Brothers like pin, like a lapel pin, that I think they were giving out if you played the demo.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's a nice little keepsake, you know, great. But for like 75 quid on eBay, come on. E3 is not all about, you know, we're going to flip this because it was free, or we paid minimum of this, we're going to flip this. It's all become very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Commercial.
Money. Yeah, money.
It's always been commercial, really, but it's just more sort of, it's just become more prominent. I think, I'd love to go to E3, and I've been to San Diego Comic-Con, and that's the dream, that's amazing. But even it, you know, it's just pure consumerism at its most. And I just don't understand, I will never understand people queuing up to see celebrities for like days and stuff, and we're talking like 34 degree heat, sort of 34-40 degrees, people out in the sun queuing for Hall H, you know. And wow, I you know, each to their own, just couldn't do it. I'm just like, for that, I just couldn't do it. I hate queuing in general, to be honest, but, you know, I'm quite a patient person, I have to be honest. I am generally, you know, I'm very patient. I've been told I have the patience of a saint, but I hate queuing. I really hate queuing. Why do I have to queue? Why can't I just...
Because we're British, that's why, and we know how to queue.
Yeah.
And we know how to moan.
Yeah, we know how to queue. It's like, got a cup of tea. I'm fine in a fucking queue. Thank you very much. Carry on. Wonder about yourselves. You don't know how to queue, you bloody Americans.
Well, I don't know, man. These guys were like, you know, so you come out of out of the Comic-Con convention, and you're like, it's hard to explain, but they basically come out from the front all the way around the back and all the way along the waterfront. And there's people there sort of, you know, chairs, you know, waiting in the sun, and I'm just like, and they're waiting for the next, pretty much the next day, you know, they're queuing for the next day, so they're not being able to enjoy the convention because they're just waiting for
Hall H,
and it's just like, I appreciate it, it must be pretty cool to get in there, but you know, you're missing out on the entire experience just by queuing, and it's just like, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, the entire city's taken over by it, and you know, there's a lot to explore. So I just, you know, I suppose if you live in that area, then I suppose it's not as big a thing. For somebody like myself, it's like, oh my god, there's all kinds of cool stuff, and you know, queuing's just like, I'm not doing that.
I do want to see like the Big Bang Theory type people with the urine bag strapped to the legs, and they're prepped to go in. They've got their protein bars, they've got their jerky, and they've got the pee bag strapped to the back of their leg. And it's like, yeah, we're here for 12 hours, we're ready.
Oh, man.
No.
I might go to E3 at some point, I guess.
Yeah, I'd like to do E3, but like I say, if you're going to have that experience of waiting 6 hours just to play 15 minutes on a game, is it worth it?
I'm assuming when I go to EGX in Birmingham, I will not queue for games. The only time I queued for games was last year because my girlfriend's son and her brother were with me, and you know they wanted to play some of the games, so I queued with them. But in general, I'm just like, I am not queuing for an hour and a half just to play the new Call of Duty for 5 minutes. It just doesn't do anything for me, you know. So I'll just play the stuff that's not there and stuff. My brother's just mentioned in the comments on Facebook, we bumped into JT and Anna Kendrick by walking down the waterfront. Who needs to queue? Exactly. You know, so there's all these, like, people queuing for famous people. We literally were walking down the waterfront, and Justin Timberlake walked right past us, like right in front of us. And I'm standing there with a big camera in one hand and my phone in the other. I didn't take one photograph of him because I was in shock. And then my brother's like, quickly got him and got a few photographs of both of them. But it was just like they were like just there, you know. And you could bump into them all the time. So it's just like, yeah. But each to their own. Each to their own. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, so anything more about E3 that you want to discuss?
I will just say, if anyone saw the first presentation, which was for EA, that I will say that, yes, Nintendo had a bad conference, but EA, they were pretty much scraping that barrel for every little nook and crack they could get. Star Wars, they made a whole thing about Battlefront 2, about the DLC they're going to do for it. They're going to do a Clone Wars DLC, which actually got a couple of boos instead of applause during the conference, which was quite fun to hear. But that's they did announce... they did announce a new Star Wars game, which won't be a Battlefront game. And it sounds really exciting. It's going to be obviously set between, like most of them are, set between episodes 3 and 4. And it's going to be about the extinction of the Jedi, so it'll probably be like a side story, similar to what Star Wars Rebels has been like.
Yeah.
And they were like, everyone's like, yeah, this is like the biggest applause all night. You know, everyone wants to know what's happening with this. Come on, we got a new Star Wars game. When's it coming out? Oh, not until holiday 2019.
And then a massive, like, really tiny text underneath says, any popular characters will be subject to downloadable content at a massive price hike.
Yeah. But E3 used to be quite exciting. Used to watch it. Used to go right. I mean, I remember watching it in years when I used to go, "Oh wow, they've announced new Final Fantasy. Oh, it's gonna be so awesome." Or there was ones like, "Wait, there's gonna be a Metal Gear Solid 5. Oh my goodness, this looks awesome." There's just been times when, you know, E3 has managed to surprise. They've managed to really put out something really good. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I think Xbox had the best conference, but I can't say there was anything that was announced that I went 100%. I was like, I'm gobsmacked. There was nothing this year that did that.
Well, I don't think there's been anything for a while that has really made me go, ooh, that's amazing. Like I said, I love Halo, but, you know, and just, even that was just like, okay, new Halo game. I'm getting old, man. I think that's what it is. Getting old, curmudgeonly. I think EA have really tainted themselves. That Star Wars Battlefront fiasco, when they just went pure money grab. And I appreciate that a lot of people, a lot of game companies were doing similar things. They just thought they'd cash in. They just did it with a very beloved franchise. And it was just like, whoa, what the fuck are you doing? And people just noticed. So, yeah.
Well, I found myself downloading Star Wars Empire at War, I did, instead of playing Battlefield.
Yeah, that's a good game. That is a good game.
Much better game.
Yeah, I haven't bought it. I just told myself I wasn't going to, because I was just very annoyed by how they carried themselves off. And, you know, it was just like, we're going to cash in loads, and then people kicked off, and they went, oh shit, right, better change your mind now, and it's just like, yeah, it's too late now. Motherfuckers.
It'll probably come in like one of the free game days. Download this free.
Yeah,
Well, come back to us, please.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think the problem is that when Disney bought up Star Wars, they cancelled all the upcoming games that were being in there was in development. There were some good games that they were putting together because Disney went, no, we're going to wipe the slate clean. We want to now make our mark on it. So they got rid of there was going to be a new MMO Star Wars that was being developed. But also there was one that was going to be on a young Boba Fett called Star Wars 1313, which if you get a chance, if you've not seen it before, look at the trailers on YouTube. Some of them trailers, including the gameplay, for a game that was going to probably be out about 2013, it looks very comparable to graphics as of now. It was stunning. And it's like, Disney, you shot yourself in the foot. You've taken away what could have been your best game. It could have been the creme de la crop. But no, you've given us two shitty Battlefront games instead.
Well, yeah. the last ever thing with like Jango Fett or Boba Fett that I ever played was a little old game on the Nintendo GameCube called Star Wars Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Now, that was a great game for a very poor console.
The thing is, you find some of the older games actually you find are content-wise better than some of the games you get now. Like I said, it's just pretty. They go, ooh, that's pretty. And it's just like, oh, I don't want pretty anymore. I want gameplay, man.
Because it was innovation. Innovation was what got people playing these games. But now that, like you said earlier, it's how the games look is what's selling them. And one of the biggest examples is probably Metal Gear Solid. Don't get me wrong, Metal Gear Solid games are still fantastic. But how much of Metal Gear Solid 4 was just basically watching the movie? And I did this, no lie, my second time I completed Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 4, actually, I timed it to see how long that final cutscene was at the end of the game. Just quickly, I have it to the exact minute, but do you both want to have a guess how many minutes it was for that last cutscene?
Two?
Four and a half.
Four and a half minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Josh, what was your guess?
2 minutes.
No, the final cutscene, so once you finish the last bit of gameplay, leading all the way up to the end credits, was 67 minutes.
What the fuck?
What the hell?
Because at the end of Metal Gear Solid 4, you've obviously done the final fight against Ocelot. You've defeated the Metal Gear for however many times you've done it now. And then you get this whole backstory about Snake. You get all the loose ends tied up. You get to see everyone's story arc sort of come to an end. You see he's, spoiler alert, but this is a game from 10 years ago now. You see him pretty much go to commit suicide because he can't deal with the impending death that he's about to come up because he's rapidly aged. Then you get, he meets Big Boss. He finds out that his dad is actually still alive, and they have this moment. They have this like 10 or 15 minute scene with each other. But yeah, 67 minutes.
Fuck me, man. That's weird. I saw a joke, sort of a joke. I'm not even going to pronounce his name. Kojima. What's his first name? How do you pronounce his first name?
Hideo
Kojima, yeah. It's like Hideo Kojima releases new game, which is just 2 hour cutscene. it's like, yeah.
But it's good. Don't get me wrong. I love Metal Gear Solid 4, and I did feel like at the end of it, I was like, am I playing a game or are I watching a film? And it's like that line was very much blurred at that point. But 67 minutes.
I had to keep
touching the controller just to stop the screen from going black because it was like, you're not playing the game. Well, no, because I'm waiting for the fucking scene to finish. That's what I'm doing. And it's like, it gets to the end, it's like, wait, okay. So for a 9-hour game, I've just spent probably about a third of that just watching cutscenes. Jesus.
A few comments here. Daniel P. Now you can notice that I've stopped trying to pronounce the second name. Birmingham Comic Con was amazing the other week. Met Christopher Lambert. Ah, brilliant. That was awesome.
He's an awesome guy.
Yeah,
very nice guy.
And then my bro says, sorry, say it again.
He has very, very bad eyesight. When he was making Highlander, he actually wore glasses, but because half the scene is set in the Highlands of Scotland in the 1500s, a lot of these scenes that he basically done pretty much blind.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that. My brother says Death Stranding was the only game I got really interested in, and I think it was more down to the amazing graphics and nothing to do with the gameplay. I haven't got a clue what it was about. From what I, the gameplay was the guy walking a lot, basically. There was a lot of walking going on in that game. It does look interesting, but yeah, there was just a lot of walking. Yeah, it's kind of like the Lord of the Rings of the computer world. So it's walking.
And we're walking.
We're walking.
Yeah. On a random note, and I'm not sure, like, this is completely random, just because I remembered it, but allegedly the prequel series to Game of Thrones has been cancelled.
No, not... Well, they've announced a pilot for one of the prequel series, which is set 1,000 years before the actual TV show as it is at the moment. So out of the five shows that they're apparently going to make, one is going to pilot, which is supposed to film this summer.
Right, I'm just going to, because my girlfriend told me this, and she doesn't know anything about geeky stuff. She just told me about it, and I was just like, whoa. So
unless
she told me it.
Unless there's been an update in the last couple of hours, that's the only other.
There you go.
Well, the Express have got it. The Express have got the update.
The Epic franchise. It says George R.R. Martin has confirmed that one of Game of Thrones spin-offs has been scrapped. Oh, it's just one of. The Epic franchise, which is set to spawn several more shows once HBO has reached its end. Securing a pilot from Jane Goldman, which is a prequel. The series is set during the Age of Heroes, which would be thousands of years before Jon Snow's name is never whispered. However, they didn't stop there. In fact, there was up to five different spin-offs in the works for HBO. Now, in the new blog post from George R. Martin has revealed that the extended universe being capped slightly.
The thing is, he's creating all these other shows, and we're still waiting for him to write that six bloody book.
Yes, fucking bastard. That's it. That's the only thing I'm sort of kind of wanting to happen. Like, I just don't care. At this moment in time, I think that's probably it. I think I've just got so complacent and sort of upset that there's no sixth Game of Thrones book. And everything else just doesn't matter anymore. And I just want that sixth book.
The thing is, he's released about 8 or 9 chapters from this book. Because I've read them when they've been online. I think there was a... I can't remember. It was Comic Con, I think, 2015 or 2016. He done a live read of one of the chapters. And he went something about, oh, yeah, yes, the book is currently going well. I've got 1,100 pages for it. It will be out next year. And everyone's like, yeah! And it's like, comes the next year. Yeah, we don't know when it's coming out yet.
The thing is, he doesn't have to, man. It's just... Do you know what I liken it to? I liken it to this. We've talked about this so many times, but... I like doing stuff like so Geek Pride things or painting models or, you know, playing board games and stuff. I like doing them when I want to do them. As soon as I'm forced to do things and I have to do them, I just literally shut down. And I get the impression he's quite similar in that he'll do it when he sort of kind of wants to, you know, I'll just finish off a chapter and stuff. But as soon as they're like, dude, you need to get this done, he's like, nah. And he's like, dude, you need to get this done. He's like, nah. And then he just sort of kind of does the odd page when he's on the loo now and again. And it's just like, he's just slowly getting past it. Like, word of the day, toilet paper. And he says, oh, that could be good. We'll add that in. And, you know, plus he's getting billions, loads of money, millions of pounds, dollars.
But I think it's just more that because the book series is where it is at the moment, and I know that the TV show has now overlapped it, but I just feel... I don't know, if that was me, I'd almost feel like, okay, everyone knows what's going to happen, that's fair enough, but I think just as a thing, I just bash out a book now and just go, so few people die, fight against the White Walkers, blah, 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 Jon Snow is now king, the end.
Well, the thing is, he is writing other books, he's written other books in the meantime, so it's just like, he just can't be fucked. And it's just, well, it's not, he just can't be fine. Well, yeah, it is. At the minute, he's just like, I'm just not feeling it, guys. So I'm just not going to finish it. Which I can kind of understand, but it's just infuriating. It's like one of these things. If you start off and you're like, guys, I am going to write an epic sort of series of books. It's going to be freaking amazing. you kind of have a responsibility to finish them.
Can you imagine it was 2011 when the last book came out, and ironically that was when the first series of Game of Thrones came out. But when he wrote book 5 and he thought, okay, so if this show goes on for a while, I'm sure I'll get the books done. Now, I think by the time it got to about season 4 or season 5, he must have been thinking, oh, fuck, what am I doing? I've not written this book yet. But his thing is, he was writing, I know it's not that probably that big of a commitment, but he was writing an episode for every series up until season 4. That was the last episode he wrote, was for season 4. But it's, yeah, but like you say, he's done these other books, he's done all these spin-offs, he's been doing these other sci-fi projects. I think he's got a show for the Sci-Fi Channel that's apparently being made soon. You've also got, this prequel that's being done by Jane Goldman, who, if you know, is the wife of Jonathan Ross and the writer of the Kick-Ass and Kingsman films.
Ah, I did not know that she did Kingsman. All right.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
So there's some good credibility there all around. I kind of want Game of Thrones to be over and done with, say, give it about a year or so, and then maybe introduce this spin-off, because I think you need to have that little bit of breathing space. That worked when Breaking Bad finished, and then they brought on Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul, I think, it kind of came out a little bit too quick, and it struggled to find its feet. But I've got to say, season 3 of Better Call Saul, that was on last year, I think was probably the best show of 2017 for me. It was just so well good. So funny, but so dramatic, so serious, so heartfelt. And yeah, I just think if you give it time, you can still make great TV. You can keep it all linked. You can still come back to these worlds. But if you try and rush out something, because it's like 5 spin-offs. Who's going to watch 5 spin-offs of one show?
Yeah. True.
I can't see that's going to happen.
Talking about TV, so we're on other tangents. So we've gone from gaming to suddenly Game of Thrones onto TV now. But what did you think of the finales for Arrow and Flash?
I this is what I said before. I really, for the last few years, I've loved The Flash, and I think The Flash has been the pinnacle. This year's, I have got to say, it jumped the shark for me. The whole idea with keep swapping between heads and taking on different bodies to keep yourself alive. For a superhero show, I thought that was ridiculous. I thought it was so stupid. And I don't get me wrong, I still watched it. But Arrow was fantastic this year.
It was on point this year, I think, because they really sort of, I think it was sort of getting to a point where it's like, meh. But, all the fallouts and, the whole thing, I thought it worked really well.
It broke tradition as well, because, the main villain didn't die at the end of the season this time, or he didn't get defeated, he's chucked away. No, he's still here, and he's then going to be into season 7, which hopefully will be quite good. And the guy that plays him, Kirk Acevedo. I keep calling him Kirk Avocado, but I know that's not his name. But he's a great actor, and I think it was it might have been Dawn from the Planet of the Apes he was in, and I think he was brilliant in that movie. And he's done similar roles in other films, but I think he's a great actor, and I think he's like one of the first. Him and Michael Emerson, they made great villains for the show this year, and I was hooked. I've got to say, I was definitely hooked because of them.
Laura Benson, who did some stuff for us recently, new to Geek Pride, just put a comment on Facebook, sir. It's Kirk Acevedo.
Yeah.
Did a great job on the season villains.
Yeah, I know how his name's spelled. I just can't ever say it. I keep going avocado, and I know that's not right. But
to be honest,
if you have a look, you can make it.
I'm dyslexic, and so when I saw that written down, I saw avocado.
She got us a hell of a soundbite from him.
Oh, we've got lots of soundbites, so kudos to Laura. We'll probably put one of them at the start of this one. But we got a lot of sound bites from a lot of the different stars, which is amazing. Might have to get her onto the podcast, I think, possibly.
Oh, definitely.
Considering we're lacking females at this moment in time, because Julietta has abandoned us for some reason. She's too busy doing Julietta things. So yeah,
my young
doing
Julietta things.
Yes.
I've listened to these sound clips when you're putting them up from the Hero Villain Film Fest. or FanFest, whatever. The Stephen Amell one, I think, was the best one. That was just, it just seemed so well. It's like, he's probably like just dancing along and someone's just put a phone to you. Can you do a quick jingle? He's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Hey, I'm having fun. I'm here. This is Geek Pride. Hey.
That's pretty much how she went about
brilliant.
It, I think.
It's brilliant. I think that was great. And, you know, if you can do that, if you can get people that are, you know, more than happy to do like a little chat or a little fun bite like that, then it's great. It's so fun. But yeah, that one in particular.
Laura said that he's also very, very lovely in person and was incredible to all his fans and his staff working with him. Slipped them £150 each, apparently.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah, what a ledge.
I'm
assuming we're talking about Amell and not Kirk Acevedo.
I don't know. You think it'd be more Kirk Acevedo, wouldn't you? Because his character, he's basically paid off everyone else in Star City. So why don't he pay everyone off in London?
Brilliant.
You know, just to reckon. Right, just a slightly different thing, Matt. Do you remember last time I was on the podcast, you said about maybe doing a few geeky questions for...
Yes, pop quiz.
Right, well, put it this way. If you and Josh fancy it, I have 5 super geeky questions. If you've got a scrap of paper, if you've got a phone or something, you can type these answers in and we can do a little tester now. 5 questions.
All right.
Nice and easy.
I do actually have a piece of paper right here and a pencil.
Let's go. Find my notepad.
No, it was Kirk. It was Kirk who did the £150 each. Wow, yeah. I have seen that Stephen Amell apparently is very generous as well. Right.
Where's my notepad? I don't know. These
aren't going to be super hard, are they, by the way?
Well, these are all quite geeky ones. And I'll be honest, I wrote some up, but I can't find the book that I wrote them up earlier. So I've just been writing some as we've been chatting this evening.
Okay.
Okay. So fire away then. What's the
okay,
first question?
So I will read out all the questions. You write down your answers and then we'll go through the answers afterwards, yeah?
So do we swap papers?
Yeah, try and swap your papers over, yeah. right. Okay, so question number one. In Rick and Morty, what name is given to Bird Person when he is resurrected in season 3?
Oh no!
When he is resurrected in season 3. So remember, write down your answer.
This is going to be wrong. I know it's something else, but I'm just going to have to go for this.
I've never watched Rick and Morty.
Get out!
Well, I lie. I watched like a couple of episodes and then got bored.
Bored? Oh! What? All right, that's anyway, it. Pass.
Josh, you're out of here, mate. See ya.
Yeah, get out. You're disqualified.
Okay, question number 2. In Avengers Infinity War, what is the first stone that Thanos places onto the Infinity Gauntlet? The first one that is on his Infinity Gauntlet. The first one that you see on his gauntlet.
I don't even know what it... This...
And don't go by the colour, I need the name.
I know the colour. I just can't fucking remember what they all are. Give me a minute.
I'm not typing into Google either, Matt.
Well, you can hear, you'll be able to see
the
me.
The thing is, we can see him.
I can't cheat. I know which one it is. I'm gonna put the colour down, and then I'll have to think about it.
Right, question number 3. General Ram is the final boss in which 2006 video game?
General
Ram, R-A-A-M, is the final boss in which 2006 video game?
I thought it was R-A-M-M.
It might be R-A-M-M. So I'm going by Google on this one.
Google lies.
Google does lie, yes. But anyway, you probably both know it anyway. Right. Question number 4. Damian Wayne is the son of Bruce Wayne and which other DC character?
I was actually just watching that film last night.
What, Son of Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that
film. I've got every Justice League, Batman, animated film that Warner Brothers have done. I've got them all. I think they're brilliant.
Joe, I still haven't watched Batman Ninja yet, though.
I'm just going to... This is just going to show how fucking... I don't know anything here. Some of them I'm just like, I definitely know, I just can't put my finger on it. But that one, it's going to be... It's one or two. Yeah, no, we're going to go for... No, it's one of those two. I've got two answers, so I'll just have to pick one when we decide.
Right. Okay, and final one, question number five. Savage Opress is the brother of which Star Wars character? Savage Opress is the brother of which Star Wars character?
Savage Opress?
Yeah, Savage Opress.
Or Savage, depending on where you come from.
Is the brother of which Star Wars character?
Yeah.
This was
a fully established film character. So not like one of the spin-off ones or anything like that. This is an actual film character. That sounds quite cool, say like Savage
Opress. It rings a bell. Who is it?
If you don't know, just make a guess. And, you know, your guess could be correct.
Interesting. It might have been mentioned in Solo. Where have I heard that from? Savage Opress.
I still ain't seen Solo.
That's great. I'm shocked. I'm very skeptical. It's really good. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I'm shocked that it's got the savagery that it has done from critics and the, you know.
But I think that was more because of the change in directors. That was always going to have a bit of a bash.
And the disappointment of Last Jedi.
I can't even think. I'm just going completely blank. So he's an established character.
I am a fish. Right, that's right. I am a fish. Matt, please say you got that.
Yeah, what? I am a fish. You know what that's from, right?
Yes.
He doesn't. we need to have a discussion about Red Dwarf, Matt. We really do.
I don't know, man. I just fucking... Right, go on then.
Have you all got answers down for the five questions?
I just can't think of the name of the stone. Do you know what is really bad? I can see in my head, I'm just horrible with anything that's names.
This is our editor-in-chief, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Well, it's like, I can recognize things. I can recognize faces.
Rename the show No Geek Pride.
I can remember and stuff. Right. I can remember.
Laura's messaging me, and she's literally screaming the fucking name at you. She's flipping tables. Oh, God, love that girl.
Right. Savage Opress, because he's a fancy bitch. I like that. That's quite good. Right, so Matt, this ain't going to be a question, but if I asked you what the last stone was that went onto the gauntlet, what would you say?
It would be the what was the one that Vision had?
I'm literally biting my fingernails at this now.
Now, Vision is the Mind Stone.
You got something right. Okay, let's go for
a bonus question. Do I get a bonus?
No. Okay, so let's go through. So, question one: in Rick and Morty, what name is given to Bird Person when he is resurrected in season 3? Phoenix Person is the correct answer.
Yes, I got that right. Look.
You know, there's a bit of a delay seeing it on my screen, so I'll see it in about 10 seconds. Okay, yes, Phoenix Person is the correct answer. Right. Number two. In Avengers Infinity War, what is the first stone that Thanos places onto his gauntlet?
The Power Stone, you fucking noob!
It is the Power Stone.
I got the Purple Stone. The purple one. The Purple Stone. Can I get a half a point for that? I'm giving myself half a point for that.
Yeah, of course you can. You're the fucking editor in chief.
You can give yourself half a point, but we won't be counting that. Okay, question three. General Rahm is the final boss in which 2006 video game?
Gears of War.
Yes.
Indeed, yes. Yep. Well done.
Yep.
Right, so question four. Damian Wayne is the son of Bruce Wayne and which other DC character?
Okay.
Matt.
I have two answers for this, right?
Okay, right, Matt. Whatever one you say first, that is the answer I'm taking.
Right.
No looking at your phone, you cheating bastard.
No, I'm looking at my sheet. I've basically got two here.
Joe, actually, let's change it. Tell me your two answers that you've got. I won't tell you whether or not either of them are right. I want to know what you've written down.
Yeah, so do I, actually.
This is going to be horrible because comic books, not my thing. War games, you can talk about war games. I probably don't. Catwoman and Batgirl. As in...
No. Right, well, you're wrong. You're wrong either way, so it doesn't matter.
It's Talia al Ghul.
I actually did know that. Somebody mentioned... did we talk about this recently? Or something happened?
Right, well, Matt, you're not going to win there anyway, but let's just see if you got number five. Savage Opress is the brother of which Star Wars character? Josh, before you say anything, I want to know what Matt's written down.
Go.
I come really on. Want to know. Please, come on.
No, I don't want come on. To. I don't want
I,
the
I
answer.
Want to know.
I'm feeling really sort of, I'm feeling really fragile now.
Don't say Anakin Skywalker, for fuck's sake. Please don't.
I won't say the answer, but I'll do an impression.
No, don't do impression. Don't do impression. I just want to, come on, Matt, please. Just say, no judgment.
No, there is going to be judgment. Especially considering
I didn't want to say that.
There is going to be judgment, especially as I've grown up with Star Wars and should know these things. And I came second in a big Star Wars bloody pub quiz. And
being second just means you're the first loser.
Yeah.
Come on.
Don't know.
You don't say you don't know.
Right. I don't know.
I'll do my impression to put him out of his misery. At last we reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Oh, I'm Darth Maul.
Oh, thank fuck for that.
Yeah, Darth Maul. I didn't know that was his brother. Was that Solo? I didn't write anything down. I just scrawled. I didn't think of anything. I was sitting there kind of going, who could it be? And I just didn't think. When you were talking about established characters, I was sort of thinking of ones that were in a lot of them and not sort of like, you know, but I know he's in Solo and stuff briefly, but I wasn't sort of kind of
spoiler warnings.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, spoiler warnings.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
We'll have trigger warnings now.
So at the end,
Loris has gone, he has horns, face tattoos, double sided saber, dude.
Yeah.
There we go.
So at the end of the first ever Geek Pride pub quiz, the score is Matt Geary, 3 points.
But
Joshua, the madman Varney, has got 5 out of 5.
Hail to the king, baby.
Brilliant! Very good.
How about that? I
actually haven't seen Clone Wars, so I think that's where Lars said Clone Wars. Not seen Clone Wars.
Savage doesn't last very long. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Basically, he's killed, but Darth Maul's, especially in Star Wars Rebels, he does actually get quite a lot to do, and probably is one of the best characters in that show.
Well, I think they are going to tie in the new Obi-Wan film with Solo and obviously what's going on at the end of that. So I think that would tie in. And obviously it would tie in with the Rebels episode as well, wouldn't it?
Mm. I'm really wondering where they're going to go with this because when you look at... Because most studios look at the box office now, Solo hasn't even earned $300 million, which both... Well, all three Star Wars movies that come out before that, done in their opening weekend.
Hmm.
So it's a shame because
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Not as good as Rogue One, but
not as good as Rogue One. But
Empire.
Except every other film.
It wasn't better than Empire. And, it was a good sci-fi western, basically. So, yeah. It was a sci-fi western and a good jaunt. And I think it gave a good depth to Han Solo and Chewie and stuff. I liked
you know, how he just was a bit more optimistic. I like the fact they had the line, I've got a really good feeling about this, instead of, I've got a really bad feeling about this. I dug that. I thought it was really good. Yeah.
And just one quick thing while we're on Star Wars. I'm sure you've probably seen it on the social medias that the abuse and the harassment that's been happening with Kelly Marie Tran, who played Rose.
Oh, Rose.
Now, I liked her character. I thought she was actually quite good in the film. But is there a limit where I think the bullying side, it kind of takes a life on its own, and I think it pushes people to a certain limit. And even the last 24 hours, Millie Bobby Brown, who plays Eleven in Stranger Things, she's also been part of a homophobic meme that's been centered around her.
I did read something about that, yeah.
It's like, but what, do you know what? The fucking weirdos that come up with these things and they think this is a good idea to be putting out online, and it's hurting people's lives. It's really putting people in such shit places mentally. What is it with people that think that that's a good idea to come up with this?
Yeah.
We're going to get really deep now, yeah.
Yeah. Right. We're going to leave it there because it is 1 hour and 8 minutes in. We're not going to leave it too long. But I quite enjoyed that pub quiz, even though I sucked at it. But yeah, the thing is, this, I'm one of those guys, when you're at a pub quiz with me, I'll remember things like that to do with it. So people are like, I don't know. And I'll go, it's the purple stone, or it's this. And people go, ah, that one. I'm that guy.
Basically, you're the backup.
Yeah, I'm the backup guy. I'm the guy who doesn't remember specific names, but can remember sort of things about it and stuff.
You're a support X-Force that dies like 2 seconds in.
You are Peter.
Yeah, we're X-Force. Well, if we can do a pub quiz, like a geeky pub quiz, let's say every week, Laura was able to get us a shitload of Fuck Cancer t-shirts, mostly small and medium. So if you like them tight, we've got them tight. We could always put it out there, answer all the questions right, and you win a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We could do a pub quiz, a proper one, because the guys from Primordial Radio, they do one, which is quite a good idea. I'm not sure how we would do it without people cheating, though, so it would be something...
Maybe what we should do is get them on, like, get a few contestants onto the podcast live or Twitch or something, and then so they have to give us their answer straight away instead of, you know, being able to look online.
Yeah, we could just get some people on and just go, pub quiz. We could do it. It would be quite interesting to get sort of like Orvis or somebody on board. But yeah.
Oh,
or
that would be interesting.
Or Laura Benson, who seems to be giving me grief for getting stuff wrong. We'll get her on to do stuff and see how she likes it.
I bet she got 5 out of 5
when
on that
she's
quiz.
Up against
she. She definitely got 5 out of 5.
Yeah. Laura says on Facebook, no matter what you think of a character, never take it out in the actor. The guy who played Joffrey in Game of Thrones got abused a ton too. Yeah, it's grim when people do that. Like, they just, you know, they're just taking the character and not the actual person, and it's grim.
And Laura's challenging to fight you now as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, she says she wants to fight me. Okay. Well, yeah.
That'll be on our pay-per-view service coming next Friday night, if you'd like to watch that.
You can catch us on Patreon.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm really bad when I'm put under pressure. You know what? I sit there, and when I'm watching, like, game shows and stuff like that, I'm sitting there, and I can sit there and go, yeah, and the answer to that, blah, 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 really random stuff. But as soon as I'm in the chair and I'm an actor, my brain just goes click and turns off completely. And I can remember bits and pieces and just not very much else. So there you go.
All right, I've got an idea. Next quiz we do, Matt, how about I do a specific Rogue One quiz for you?
Oh, no, because if I get that all wrong, it'll make me look foolish. And I don't want
Yeah, we're doing that.
Yes. Yes, me and Josh are going to message each other and we're going to come up with some questions for you.
Ah,
No. Me and Laura. Get Laura on. She can do it as well. She'll do it. All right. Okay. All right. So we'll end it there then with Matt's impending doom at another quiz. We actually, talking about the fuck cancer thing, we will be, we have got some prints.
We do,
sign
yes.
prints. We just have to figure out how to do the thing with them. How do we get them auctioned and get no charges and stuff? Because when I looked up eBay, they were all like, yeah, you have to do this, that, or the other, and all this other madness. But yeah. You said you talked to them, didn't you, Josh?
I did have a chat with them, yes. There is a option where obviously the auction, you can say, goes to charity, and obviously eBay then waive all fees. As long as you show that it has actually gone to a charity, you give your like information, you give your proof, it should be fine. But I'm not one to trust eBay ever. So looking for other areas.
Yeah. So we need to basically find a way to get these things auctioned off so we can make some money for the charity. Okay, we'll look into that, but that's coming up very soon. We've got some really nice prints. Who are the people who've provided the prints?
Oh god, there's a list somewhere. Laura, where are you when I need you?
Laura, we need your help.
Yeah, where are you, Laura, when I need you? We've got... Where are my notes? I don't have my notes. I know it's guy Penguin, Riddler, Butch, yep. Bruce Wayne, and Alfred, Sean Pertwee's all signed the beautiful Gotham prints, all given to us by Laura's friend. Oh, gosh, she just dinged me now. She got angrier. Yeah, cheers, Laura.
Just about to say Butch, Riddler, Penguin.
Yeah, we've also got an Arrow one signed by Emily Bett Rickards, Stephen Amell. We've got a Flash one as well. We've got a Legends of Tomorrow signed one as well. Yeah, we've got quite a few, and they're really nice. We've also got ones from Gifted with Polaris and Thunderhawk, I think. I'll probably be corrected now any second. But yeah, I'll put up pictures on the Geek Pride's main Facebook page to show what we've got, with the actors holding up the prints, I might add, after they've signed them. So once again, my young apprentice did very well.
Yeah, very good indeed. All right, cool. Well, that'll be coming up soon, when we figure out how to sort of get it sorted so all the money goes to charity and we don't get charged for it and stuff. It's really weird that you can't even just do it through PayPal and stuff, because they have really weird sort of like gambling laws, and it's not really gambling, but no. Anyway, so we'll figure something out to get the money sorted out. I still have that bottle of Icelandic gin signed, and the other guy, he didn't claim it, and I keep on going, right, I need to put it back on, and I need to keep on doing that, so I need to get rid of it. So we're going to do that soon as well. So we're going to get rid of that, we're going to get these things done for charity, and yeah, so lots coming up, lots and lots and lots coming up. Right, so anyway, thank you very much, everybody who watched, and to everybody who joined in the conversation. I've been Matt Geary. John Joe has been John Joe.
I have indeed.
And Josh has been Josh.
Well, on this occasion, yes.
Good night, y'all. Thanks a lot.
All right. Adios.
Doodle.